Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, this is Alexis Levi, and we're here on Sports 101 again today. And I'm excited because, you know, I've been having some really good guests on. And you all know that I've been doing this for a while, and I back off a little bit, then I come back because I have some interesting guests that I think that you guys are going to want to hear from. And today we have Christian Chapman. For those of you that don't know, he is an actual coach, and he's a coach at many different levels, and that's why it's so exciting to talk to him, because a lot of people want to be coaches, but they don't know what it takes to get to be a coach. And so he kind of started from one area and just kept building on it, kept building on it, kept building on it, and now he's doing a pretty good job over there at Cal State Monterey, and, you know, just looking forward to where he's going next, if he's staying there, if he's going to another position, and we want to hear what he has to say. Christian, can you hear me? Hello, Christian? Seems like I have him on hold. Let me see what I can do here.
Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. Thank you so much.
Perfect.
I was having a little difficulty there, but we got you on. We're so excited to have you on today. I just gave a little rundown of who you are, what you've been doing, but we want to delve a little deeper. Welcome to Sports 101 with Alexis Levi.
How you doing? You're doing. Thank you for having me.
I am doing great. Now, you know, I told my audience a little bit about you, but obviously I haven't told them everything. And so I want to kind of get into where you started from, because I think they need to hear the whole story to know why you're where you're at right now. So tell me how you got started.
So I'm originally from Bay Area, California. And I got started with kind of coaching / training really at a young age. So my father being a coach himself, me being a point guard, while playing, I always had a knack for teaching. And kind of just growing up through the years, I went to UC Merced, played college basketball there, finished my degree at Cal State East Bay in sociology. And that's kind of where my love for teaching came in. So at Cal State East Bay, I, you know, got my degree in sociology, and I really liked working with youth, just in general, whether it was with school, whether it was with sports. Naturally, like a lot of schools and after-school programs and stuff like that that I worked with, they were like, hey, you know, we know you're really good in sports, but, you know, you're also good with youth in general. So growing up in, you know, just inner city neighborhoods and stuff like that, I was always part of programs that were, you know, giving back to the community, whether it was Boys and Girls Clubs, whether it was AU, teams, coaches, all that kind of stuff. So I know how vital that is to the community, especially in inner city community. So after college, I was playing. I had aspirations to play pro. I actually was working at a youth center while still pursuing my professional career. I played a little bit of semi-pro ABA, and I used that film to get an opportunity to go to the Dominican Republic. While in the Dominican Republic, I had a really good experience. But when it was time to come back home, I went back to the youth program that I was working with. And I had a lot of youth that were like, hey, coach, I really want to train with you. I really want to work out with you. I really want you to coach us, like not just do a after-school program. So I kind of always was in the realm of just teaching, coaching, helping youth at that point just play basketball and kind of use sports as a vehicle to get through life.
So let's stop right there for a minute, okay? Because I want the audience to make sure they hear everything that you're saying. And you said a lot of different things that I picked up on, and I want to kind of tap into that. You know, everybody that plays a sport normally has a dream to have an opportunity to go pro, okay?
Right.
But I always tell people there's only so many people that can go pro in the NBA. There's 400, athletes, and then overseas maybe 1,000 that are pro, and then some come from the U.S., right, and some come from the country that they're playing in. And what it sounds like you did was you looked at that and you said, okay, but I really like dealing with the youth. And I always tell people, I said, don't be afraid to fall into where you feel most comfortable, what's in your heart, because that's where you're going to do a great job. Okay.
Yeah.
And so with you, you decided to work with youth, and that was in the Bay Area. Okay. Tell me a little bit about what you did with the youth. What do you think made it evident that they wanted to see Coach Chapman instead of another coach?
It was really my connection on an interpersonal level with them. It didn't matter background, color, it didn't matter. My ability to adapt to them and kind of learn what makes them go to where it was like, hey, I understand you had a hard day at school, but let's talk about why you had a hard day. And while we talk about it, work on basketball. Like, okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say one thing. You know what's important there, and that's what makes you a good coach, I'm sure, is that you're making the kids accountable. I mean, you've worked at all levels, but sometimes coaches don't make the kids accountable, and they blame their coach, their parent, their friend, everybody else on the outside for them not having a good day. So that's point one. I think that's a great attribute for coaching. Keep going.
Yeah, so it was really, like you said, making them accountable and then also understanding that, hey, a bad day or a bad day at school or a bad morning doesn't need to affect the rest of what you need to do, right? So it's kind of like being able to perform, you know, while you are not feeling the best. And that translates to all aspects of life. When you go in the regular workforce, whether it's business, whether it's stock market, whether it's pro basketball, just because you know, you may have had a bad morning or something happened outside of your workplace, you still have to do your job. So it's really of being able to translate that in a way that they understand, they as in the student athlete, as well as the athletes in general, and kind of be able to figure out what gets them going. Can I do to create a safe space for them to be able to perform at their highest level if their job right now is to put the ball in the basket, if their job is to run 10 laps during PE, if their job is to knock out this homework assignment, what can I trigger to get them to kind of lock in for that moment and understand that, hey, I need to get this done because if I want to do this, then I have to do this, you know, kind of break down the steps for them.
Exactly, exactly. Now, I've been doing a lot of reading about you, as you probably can imagine, and so I have some things I want to ask you. You're working with youth, okay?
Yes.
What opens a door? Because you had some stair steps that really happened pretty quickly for you. You know, you've been in coaching now, you know, a couple of years. What happened that opened the door to USA Basketball?
I had a very good friend of mine named Jason Brown. He went to Bishop O'Dowd High School in Oakland, California, and
I'm from Moreau, so just teasing. My cousin was from Bishop O'Dowd, so we cemented that in our family. So keep telling me,
But he had started he was kickstarting his own business with kind of video analytics and breaking down film and stuff like that, and so he got an opportunity to work with USA Basketball. Kind of as an intern at a young age. He saw the work that I have started with my own brand, CC Skills Academy, saw me kind of really turning my passion into a real startup and kind of really getting a staple in the community in the basketball training world. It was kind of during COVID, so numbers were kind of low, and he was like, hey, I have somebody that I know that's a really good on-court basketball staff and trainer, and I would love to bring him in. So he gave me a call, and with 2 or 3 days, I had to send in my COVID test. I had to send in my paperwork and all of that. And then I got the opportunity to fly to Houston where we were doing our USA 16 and under mini camp. And at that point in time, it was still COVID. So We were quarantined in the hotel, couldn't leave. The whole hotel was just USA Basketball. And from there, you know, just being a people person myself and being able to relate to the kids, they didn't necessarily know me. But as I was there for that 2 weeks, by the second or third day, it was first name basis, able to interact with the coaching staff, players, trainers, other support staff. So that was a really, really great opportunity. And I always thank Jason for that. But it was a really big opportunity. And then, you know, once you get there, you kind of have to just be yourself. And that's what I did. And I think that worked out in my favor.
It definitely did. You know, I've been in sports, as you know, 20 years. And some coaches make it quickly and some coaches work 10 different years, 12 years to get to even the point where you are right now. And just by speaking to you, I know that, you know, you're a determined person. You fall in line. You make sure it happens. You make sure you communicate with people because that's important. You know, people don't know you until they're able to talk to you and see where your heart is. And that's why we were so excited to interview you today, you know, because the, the one thing that I've noticed with coaching, there's not that many positions. And so the one who has the acumen, the conversation, the ability to communicate with the, whether it's youth or pros, is the one that usually is going to win. And I would say you're on your way to winning pretty good. I want to talk to you a little bit about the Skills Academy before I get into the pro work that you've done and also the college work. The Skills Academy, you started that, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about it.
Yes, I was able to actually start that because I had a lot of different athletes that I was working with that were going through the youth center that were had aspirations to play at a higher level than, you know, just some of their peers. So as I started CC Skills Academy, I started it 2 days before Thanksgiving, and I was like, I'm going to basically create like a free camp for all members of the youth center, Reach Ashton Youth Center in San Leandro, and then I'm going to open it up to all the athletes that I already know that may be my age or maybe a little younger than me that are still either playing in college or at junior college or even a couple of people that were pro that believed in me because they know my passion and where my heart is and being able to teach the game of basketball. So that was really a great kickoff for me because I was able to kind of create a camp where I had 7, 8, 9-year-olds, all the way up to pro level, men and women. And just being able to create that environment and everybody being able to get work in their own way is when a light went off in my head and I was like, hey, I got something. You know, like I have the ability to work the room, be able to attend to everybody, be able to teach things and break it down for a simple 7, 8, 9-year-old to understand that has, you know, a little bit of experience in basketball, and then also be able to fine-tune it for somebody that is in college or has aspirations to play pro and kind of get them to be able to fine-tune their craft as well. So from there,
and that right there is a big thing. I just want you, you know that already. But that's a huge thing when it comes from the, you know, I was a GM. So when it comes from the GM side, it's those, all those skills and tactics and ages and just being able to meet people where they're at is important because if they don't know where they're at, they can't go forward.
Right.
So keep telling me about, keep finishing that. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, no worries. And so unfortunately, a month later is when COVID hit. And me just having experience with social media and stuff like that, I really had to get creative because, as you know, you probably remember, seems like a long time from now, but everything was shut down, especially in the Bay Area. So gyms, there was no 24-hour fitness, LA fitness, high schools weren't open. So I started doing Zoom calls. So I would set up Zoom. And I would kind of do different drills, different stuff like that. And I had multiple people from different parts of the country tuning in and following along. So it was about 30 minutes, all ball handling work. I had athletes from San Diego, L.A., Bay Area, athletes I've never met before because I didn't get a chance to have them in the gym because it was during COVID. And they would have friends, you know, send the link saying, hey, this trainer is doing ball handler work on Tuesdays. Join. So the Zoom call went from 5 athletes to 10 athletes to 25 athletes all at once. And I'm outside my garage right there in the front, right, doing different ball handling stuff and kind of breaking it down. And being able to communicate through Zoom was very, very challenging during that time period. And it was something everybody had to learn, right?
Yeah.
Like teach.
Yep, that's exactly right.
They didn't really connect all the time, right? So being able to kind of break down movement and break down different things and kind of watch 15, 20 different boxes and kind of analyze everybody really was like a test for me. But at the same time, it really helped me communicate to where when we did get in the gym, like 6 months later when COVID kind of lifted and I was able to consistently get a gym, things, my verbiage, my vocabulary on how to do different movements and really teach the game is elevated. So COVID was actually a really big blessing for me because I kind of started my brand during that, and that really helped connect to a wider audience, a wider community, to where when I did post, hey, I have a gym. Now
people
I'm
listened,
flooded.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, people listened. Now. And, yeah, no, that is amazing right there. I mean, just the fact that you had the tenacity to figure it out. And so that it could benefit everybody because everybody was really going stir crazy during COVID.
Right.
I mean, you know, the bubble was real for the NBA and for international players. And I think it was really tough for them, but you kind of turned it around once again, showing people how to be accountable for themselves and make sure that they didn't give up. They worked it out, figured it out, because that's what really sports is all about. It's not always going to be perfect.
Right.
You know, if a guy like Steph Curry had to be in the bubble, then everybody has to be in the bubble and figure it out.
Exactly.
You know, it wasn't comfortable for anybody. Let me go a little bit further here. So we went so far for the audience, if you're just tuning in, we're talking to Christian Chapman. He's a coach. He's a trainer. He's an amazing individual that has really taken to heart the whole world of coaching. And so we've been talking about his camps that he does, and we've been talking about his impact with USA Basketball, and also his impact when the COVID happened, what he did to make sure that his clients and his players still had an opportunity to develop and increase their skill ability. And so one of the things that I think is pretty unique, too, is at a young age and fairly new into the coaching world, you've also had some interactions with some actual NBA players. And then I want to talk about that for a minute and then go into what you're currently doing with the women's coaching. So tell me a little bit about the NBA players.
Yeah, so just kind of as the brand was growing and stuff like that, I was able to connect with a lot of different people and, you know, help work a lot of different camps in SoCal and stuff like that. And me just, again, being, you know, social media savvy and a people person, networking was fairly natural and organic, and I learned that that's the best way to be, especially in a business like coaching, being yourself, right? That kind of welcomed a lot of different people, a lot of different interactions to where, you know, at these camps, they're like, hey, who's that, you know? And then it's like, oh, he has his own, oh, that's blah, 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 oh, he's done this. So that kind of opened a lot of different doors. And that's kind of, you know, and then Jason helped me with USA Basketball. So then once that was on my resume as well, they're like, okay, so he does work with high-level athletes as well, but humble enough to be able to work with inner-city youth who may have aspirations as well. So after kind of following USA Basketball and stuff like that, there's a trainer by the name of Jordan Lawley down in SoCal in Irvine.
Yes.
His Instagram is Raw Basketball, and he has NBA pre-draft. And so when I was a basketball player, I looked at a lot of his stuff for training, along with a coach and trainer named Olin Simplis. His Instagram is The Guard Whisperer. And so connecting with them, I kind of transitioned into coaching and training. Those were some people that I kind of looked up to, along with Phil Handy, who I was able to build a relationship with. And that kind of helped create, you know, kind of my identity as, okay, this is where I see myself in a few years. This is the level I want to get to. So
yeah,
if you know, personally, I feel that I just needed time and needed experience. So the best way for me to do that was to kind of put myself in that environment, right? Like, let's see.
Yeah.
And I always believe, like, I have a great ability to adapt. So let's see if I can put myself in that environment and let's see how I do. Kind of a sink or swim type moment.
You know, let me stop right there for a minute with you. You know, what you're showing people right now, my audience, is that it doesn't just come in a box. It doesn't come to your front door and unwrap itself.
Right.
You know, you have to really go for it. And the fact that you had, at a young age, had enough tenacity to go over there and network with those people and don't be afraid is a huge asset for any coach or any GM or anything like that. Because once you get the, you know this now being in college sports, once everything starts going, no one has time to babysit.
Right.
You're really in there, you know, you're accountable for what you're supposed to do, whether you're head coach, assistant coach, GM, whatever, right? And if you come in the door and you're accountable already because that's who you are, that really provides a great foundation for any program.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so that's what I'm really liking right now that you're saying, because I think that's a huge asset. The one thing that I want to do is also talk a little bit about after doing the NBA players, after reaching out, after being at the draft, after connecting with someone on the internet. You know, Phil Handy's been around for a long time. I do know him personally. Some of the other guys I don't know, but I also know Jordan, the trainer. And each of you have a story about how you did it, you know, you know, and it's not the same story. It just isn't.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it's just being in the court where people are playing and like you say, them recognizing you, them knowing you. So the one thing that I want to talk about, because a lot of times people don't talk about girls sports, women's sports, and you weren't afraid to step into the women's category of women's basketball. And tell us a little bit about how you got there and the season this year and what you think about the season and what you think going forward you can bring to that program or any other program.
Yes, the first person to actually put the ball in my hand was my grandmother, Shirley Chapman, and she was able to introduce me to women's sports at a very, very young age. The first game I ever went to was Stanford women's basketball against Tennessee, which is one of the biggest games in basketball in general at that time. When I was about
at that
six,
time,
7 years.
For sure.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that was when that summit was there. And my grandmother was like, look, these girls can hoop and they will serve you. So we're going to go watch this game and you're going to watch high level basketball. And my grandmother was a teacher for many years, actually was able to play professionally in the first women's pro league out here in the Bay Area. For the team out here. And so she was a hooper herself. So she didn't let nothing slide. Like, she was like, if I'm in the gym coaching, you're going to be in the gym. If I'm, you know, if you with me on weekends, you're going to have a basketball in your hands. As well as every other sport that you want to do, I'm going to help you do it. So she was actually the first one to really put a ball in my hands. And the first game I went to was a women's game. So I always had passion and love for the women's game. And I know that the men's game, they do have a lot of cooks in the kitchen. But with that being said, I feel like there's not really a big difference between men and women. It's all really about how you approach it. So this year, I realized that the game of basketball is one language, right? The game of basketball
is one language. Yeah.
And if you are a good coach and a good trainer and you can connect with your athletes, you don't really got to change much. And being able to connect with them is really the biggest part, because once you have a player that plays for you, then that a huge advantage. And so I realized this year, you know, coaching at the Division II women's level, that I don't have to – you don't have to fake it. You don't have to change how you talk, change how you walk. You don't have to, right? Once a player understands and trusts you that they have the ability to get better and that they trust that you are having their best interest, the sky's the limit. And
yes,
it was really enjoyable going from men's side of a really, you know, really successful program in the previous years to helping out a women's program with a great staff, great coach, and great girls who understand that we're going to go through trials and tribulations this year, kind of being a rebuilding program. But we saw a lot of growth. And individually as a team, and what was most rewarding was when you have a player, you have an athlete that you worked with and you work countless hours, right? Nobody's in the gym, and then a light turns on in the game, and then boom, she does that jab step. She does that hop step. She does that pump fake spin that we worked on for 10,000 hours and you miss every shot. Right, when the light comes on in the game, that's where it makes it all rewarding. So that's what I really realized this year was like, hey, regardless of where you're from, what you look like, you can have an impact anywhere. And I really like the fact that I can have an impact on the women's game and treat them the same way that men get treated and give them the same resources that men have and teach the game the exact same way and just be able to fine-tune it to kind of where they're at and help them succeed. And not a lot of people are striving to do that on the women's side, which is why I feel like the impact would be greater and just more meaningful for me and for whatever, you know, athlete. I'm working with, every team.
Well, you know, one of the things that I saw, and I know we're almost getting to the end of our conversation, but I have to say this, you know, this was your first year there, correct?
Correct.
At Monterey Bay. And the thing that I saw was you walked in behind a coach that had some good successes. You know, she's had 100 wins. And so learning from the person that's your head coach is important, too. And I'm sure that she's learned from you, you've learned from her. But, you know, like you said, it's a building process. I mean, people don't go to a team and automatically, you know, they're number one. It has to be about the two individuals vibing, the head coaches and the assistant coaches and the player personnel and all that vibing together, as well as the players. So, you know, I know that at this point you're looking forward to, you know, going forward, and I just want to touch on that. I don't have much time left, but I know that you are interested in, you know, either staying at the school that you're at or, you know, moving forward.
Right.
And one of the things that I know you're interested in is either being a head coach, assistant coach, a player personnel. And so I just have 90 seconds left, but I want you to touch on that really quickly. Sum it up for me. What do you think your future is like?
Long-term goal wants to be highest level, whether that's WNBA or NBA, player development specialist or associate head coach, very similar to how Phil Handy is. Small-term goal is I do want to get into the head coaching side, and I'm open to men or women's side, but I do want to get into head coaching in the near future to kind of fill my way out so that way I can make sure what I want to do years down the road is player development. If I love the head coaching side, it's a totally different world, then I would love to stay in that. But I'm open to kind of all three, high-level assistant, head coaching, or highest level of player development. And that's really where
Well, I know you're going to shine wherever you go. I almost said Clifford, Christian, which is your dad. I know you're going to shine wherever you go, and we are sitting beside you making sure that we see your journey. And I thank you so much for coming on my show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great. I appreciate it.
Thank you.